This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
First of all, neighbors, I'd like to make a special shout out to HelloFresh for supporting the Paracast. Receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code Paracast30. You know, before we start an episode of the Paracast, we sometimes have a little chat with our guest, or Chris and I talk about things. And we mentioned here about the fact that sometimes people make extraneous noises like moving papers around or moving microphones. Like that, you see? And then Chris started typing. Now, Chris has a keyboard for his Mac with the loudest computer sound, the loudest keyboard sound that I've ever heard, because it's a keyboard, one of these old-fashioned mechanical keyboards, that he liked the sound so much, I said, yes, you can have it. I have something called an Apple Magic keyboard that makes really practically no sound. But Kevin Randall is telling us that maybe we should all switch back to typewriters like Jim Moseley used to do. Is that what you want to do, Kevin?
No. Typewriters don't have spell check.
Well, they have these electronic typewriters that kind of allow you to correct things in certain ways, but that wasn't even what Jim had. He had a SCM electric typewriter, and he'd buy several, so when he wears out one, he'd have one less.
Yes, but that's 20th century. I've moved into the 21st century. I have an all-in-one computer with a huge, massive monitor thing on it and a quiet keyboard. So I've moved into the 21st century.
Well, Chris and I have that, too. It's called 27-inch iMac.
Mine's 32 inches.
It's going to be one up on this show. Before we get started and talk about your new book, on the Sicario episode, Encounter in the Desert. You see, folks, it's not going to be about Roswell. You had some fascinating comments we should bring up about that former rock star, Tom DeLonge, who I guess feels that he's some kind of expert about the UFO mystery. And he has this fundraising thingy he's going on called To the Stars, which, by the way, is raised, as of the last time I checked, like over $500,000. And you have to donate a minimum of $200 to get involved. So, therefore, I was going to add 10 cents.
Suckers.
I was going to put in 10 cents, which is all I could afford. Chris was going to put in a nickel, but we couldn't do it. So
$500,000. What a bunch of suckers.
What's your take on that, Kevin?
Well, I'm obviously doing something wrong. I've spent years and years and years doing UFO research, and
Yeah, the real kind.
And I can play the keyboard, meaning an organ-type thing a little bit.
Played the guitar player.
I don't know how long he's been doing UFO research, but he clearly is not doing it in the right place. You look at the things he believes and things he thinks are true. I mean, he's saying that the writing found at Roswell looked like Greek writing. And he shows this I-beam or this H-beam from the alien autopsy film, and I think everybody in the world except him knows that was a hoax. The guys who made it said it was a hoax. And we're using this as somehow we're going to advance UFO research. I think
wait a minute, Kevin.
Yes.
Quote, unquote, he's read all the books, so he knows everything.
All the books?
That's what he said.
there's like 10,000 of them.
I think he's read all the wrong books.
He talks about Zachariah and Sitchin. I think some of Zachariah and Sitchin's things were interesting. I'm just not sure how grounded they were in science. But, I mean, it's the whole thing is just absolutely preposterous. And I look at the one thing that really bugged me, and I was watching the YouTube video of him and Joe Rogan talking about this whole nonsensical thing. they show this thing that has a star, a sun on it. I think it's Sumerian. And he says, you know, look, it's got all the planets of the solar system in it. Even Pluto, before Pluto was discovered, they say sometime in the 1950s, and somebody finally Googled it for him and realized it was 1930.
Yeah.
But they've labeled them all. And it's not only the planets, the major planets in the solar system, but the dwarf planets as well. Some of them that were only discovered in the last few years. Makemake, for example, or the dwarf planets out in the Kuiper Belt. But there's nothing on that Sumerian, I think it's some kind of a stamp, Sumerian stamp, that labels them as planets, even as part of the solar system. They have extrapolated from, well, this thing's got a circle around it with rays looking like the sun, and here's the solar system, and here are all the planets. It's just utter nonsense, and I don't know why anybody would accept that. And this guy's raised $500,000. I should put a donate thing on my blog and see if I can raise some money.
Well, listen, we've all done it. Go ahead, give it a try. You deserve donations.
I just don't really want to do that. I wanted it to be kind of free of monetary incentive, I suppose. And that kind of frees me up to take unpopular positions, which I frequently do, because I don't want to, so I'm not afraid of offending any donors that way, I suppose. I just think it's a better way to operate. I just really don't want to put a donut. Oh, good Lord. Someday I'm going to learn how to speak the English language. A donut tab or link on the blog. Maybe it's just I'm too lazy to deal with all the computer things I'd have to do to make that work.
The HTML code.
That and I'd have to get a PayPal account and all of that other nonsense. Oh,
it's simple. It's simple to do. You could do it in a half hour.
I don't care to.
Let's not worry about it. If he doesn't want to, we won't force him. If he ever decides, you know what? What the heck? I'll try it. And if people send me donations and then I piss them off and they say, you know what? We want our donations back, then I'll give it up. Seriously speaking here, is Tom DeLonge, in your view, a sincere goofball? Or is he just trying to fleece money from people? What's his goal? Is it because he hasn't sold a lot of records lately?
I think he's sincere. I think he truly believes what he's saying. He's just not done the proper research to understand where all the pitfalls are. I mean, things that he is saying, I think most of us have rejected years and years ago. And I go back to the alien autopsy nonsense. I mean, the guys that created it came out and said, yeah, we created it. Here's what we did. And they're still holding that up as some kind of, well, this proves the Greek connection to the Roswell crash or something. I think he's sincere in what he believes, and I think he's making a sincere attempt. I guess I hearken back to the MUFON symposium this year where they did the secret space program, and they brought in these guys who were claiming, yeah, we're time travelers, and we fought wars on Mars, and we were involved in that for 20 years, and all of that nonsense, and people were buying it. So he's tapping into that subculture of people who don't seem to care if it's true or not, as long as it's entertaining, I suppose.
Well, I think it harkens to something that myself and others have been noticing and been a little concerned about over the past, well, definitely 5 or 6 years, but you know, going back 10, 12 years, and that is we're seeing the new age kind of aspect of ufology. The true believers are really they're starting to resemble a religious movement. And it's huge, and it's gaining steam. And people have totally thrown, their belief, their rational belief out the window, and they've totally, I don't know. I think people are just in this la-la land of the complete suspension of disbelief, and it's fulfilling some sort of quasi-religious, I don't know, sort of angst in their psyches or something. What do you think?
Let's wait till our next segment to get the answer to that. Except I'll say I think that's happened in the past, that we've had true believers going on to things, but we didn't think a serious UFO organization would be catering to that. We've got more to come with Kevin Randall and his new book is Encounter in the Desert. We'll get to that in a moment. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issues, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. preparewithgcn.com.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We've had some terrific episodes lately of After the Paracast, by the way, available only to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. We've had, for example, a continuation of our interview with Dr. John B. Alexander, and last week we talked to him about reincarnation in After the Paracast. A lot of special things going on. You never know what's going to happen next, and we don't either. That's what makes it so much fun. In order to get after the PowerCast, you have to subscribe to the PowerCast Plus at plus.thepowercast.com. That's where you get the info. Plus.thepowercast.com, low subscription rates. You also get a version of the show free of the network ads. So Kevin Randall wrote a book called Encounter of the Desert about the Socorro, New Mexico case. We're going to get to that in a moment. Lots of questions about that. It's a fascinating book. But we were talking about the true believers, the rise of the true believers in UFO research. And we're seeing here that MUFON is catering to that. And what I was going to mention before Kevin answers Chris's question is we tried to get Jan Harzan of MUFON to come on the PowerCast. And so far, he's only had excuses. You had the response to Chris's comments, Kevin?
I was going to say that I thought that the religious aspects of ufology have been around almost from the very beginning. And you take a look at the earlier contactee cases, and I'm thinking of George Van Tassel and George Adamski. There was always a religious aspect to it.
Sure.
And I think that you look at some of the, there were UFO organizations that were devoted to the contactees. You look at some of the earlier scientific organizations, APRO and NICAP. NICAP, I think, main function was to get the government to investigate UFOs seriously and get congressional hearings. And APRO's mission seemed to be gather UFO information and UFO data and share it with the membership. But there's always been this religious aspect to it from the very beginning. I think it's, I guess with the rise of the internet, that becomes a more, to people like me who look at UFO cases, that thing, we come in contact with it more than we had in the past simply because we kind of ignored the contactees and the religious aspect.
Well, it'd be like, you, as you pointed out, the internet has brought this from being a niche kind of cult movement or kind of a conglomeration of movements back in the 50s. Yeah, the followers of Daniel Fry, the followers of Adamski, and then later in the 70s, of course, you had the Raelians and others. But those were always kind of fringe groups that were limited in membership. What we're seeing here now is millions of people are buying into these absolute fairy tales that are being spun as fact. That, to me, is at the very least, troublesome, irritating, and a little alarming.
I've always been of the opinion that we needed to, I guess, infuse the scientific method and scientific research into ufology, and it seems to always fall on deaf ears. I tried to suggest, you know, we need to improve the standards by which we review cases and elevate those standards and gather data properly and carefully rather than I just want to investigate cases where people are being abducted, or I just want to investigate cases of cattle mutilations, or I just want to investigate Roswell to throw me into the mix in some fashion, I suppose. But there's always been that. With MUFON moving into that, it's I think, more of a business move on MUFON's part than it is moving their mission from UFO investigation to now we're a corporation and our mission is to make money. And that would explain at least partially why we ended up with the secret science program, because the attitude of the leadership of MUFON, and I'm thinking specifically of the one person who you all mentioned earlier, who I don't understand why he wouldn't do your show. He's done mine twice, and I wasn't very nice to him. His attitude, Harzan's attitude, was he wanted to bring people into the arena, allow them to listen to these people who are telling these cockamamie stories, and let them decide for themselves whether they believed it or not. And apparently, for the MUFON symposium, that was a successful strategy based solely on the amount of money that was returned for the investment. And so that seems to be the driving force of MUFON at the moment, is not UFO investigation, but making money for the corporation and keeping the corporation alive. And that really is kind of the, I guess, mission of most corporations. Well, let's make a good product, but let's make a lot of money doing it. So I think MUFON's moved into that.
The exception here, Kevin, is they're not making a good product. They're presenting nonsense and being delighted over the fact that they make money from it. They make money from something. What about the Hangar One TV show, which is also complete nonsense? And I guess they're making, what, a license fee to support that show?
They're making money off that, but according to what Harzan told me, that it did bring membership into MUFON.
It only lasted two seasons.
But it still brought membership in, and once you've got them hooked, then, of course, it's up to them to keep you hooked and sending the money. I'm astonished at the amount of money it costs to belong to MUFON at this point in time. I remember APRO was charging like $5 a year to be a member of APRO, and you got the bulletin. In the beginning, you got it on a regular basis. Toward the end, with the Lorenzans becoming ill, it became very sporadic. But that's nothing bad about the Lorenzans. They became ill and they had trouble doing it. But MUFON's attitude was, you know, does this scribe to the journal cost you $60 a year or something like that? And then there's always these other levels of donation. If you give them $5,000 a year, you can be in their inner circle and get all these other benefits. So it's clearly become a cash cow as opposed to doing research. My impression is, based on my conversations with various people, is that's okay as long as we have the money's coming in and we can do these other things, even if we don't do them as well as we could.
You know, a corporation's sole purpose is to survive and to flourish and to become larger and become, you know, more and more viable to its membership. And harkening back to your comment about specialization in particular aspects of the so-called paranormal, I hope you don't think all I do is run around looking at dead cows there, Kevin.
No. I'm just saying that there are people who specialize in that sort of thing. But I've looked at dead cows, too. You know,
yeah, you did, actually, 40-plus years ago. It didn't take long for you to not think that that was a good, allocation of time.
There were other things of the UFO phenomenon that interested me more. I could spend, you know, my whole time trying to debunk MJ-12, for example, which is going to offend a lot of people. I don't think MJ-12, but I know an awful lot about that. And I've spent the last several months looking into the Billy Meyer nonsense. All because I made an innocuous comment on my blog about not believing Billy Meyer, and Michael Horn went nuts.
Michael Horn
went absolutely. I'm thinking, I just said I don't believe it, which indicates to me if you have evidence and you can present that evidence in a rational form and it's believable evidence, I'm going to change my mind. And the best example I have is the guys claiming to be Vietnam veterans. At this point, knowing how many people are faking that, which really annoys me as a Vietnam veteran myself, if you tell me you're a Vietnam veteran, I probably don't believe you right now thinking about all the fakers out there, but if you have the proper documentation, if you want to see if I was a Vietnam veteran, go to the 187th Assault Helicopter Company website. You'll find my picture on it as one of the helicopter pilots from that era. But the point simply is I don't believe these people until they prove it to me. It doesn't mean they're lying. It just means I want to see some evidence.
We're going to have a lot more to come with Kevin Randall. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Have you checked your ECS lately? We have. We are New Pharma, scientists who specialize in human functions controlled by the endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Let me simplify. Your ECS is involved in physiological processes like appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and immune systems. New Pharma's patent-pending science is the big difference in our natural solutions.
formulated for your well-being. For example, our Foundation product provides targeted nutrition to support a healthy endocannabinoid system, which is directly responsible for managing and controlling inflammation. This product contains turmeric, which is known as one of the best anti-inflammatories on the planet. Our Allergies product contains sage, which is a very effective decongestant. See all of our amazing capsules, essential oils, and ECS herbal teas at GNUPHARMA.com. New Pharma. Your path to wellness begins here.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we're about ready here to pick up a copy. I have the virtual copy. I don't have the physical copy of Encounter in the Desert. Somehow Chris got his copy, and mine must have gone by Pony Express or something. Or one of our enemies, you know, grabbed a copy. I have no idea. But we live in an apartment complex here, so anything is possible. So, Kevin Randall, in recent years, you've been going back into older cases, kind of as cold cases. Reminds me of the TV show Cold Case, where you're looking at these cases and getting a sense as to what may or should be changed, if anything, what value they have. And certainly with Roswell in the 21st century, you looked at the Roswell case and you decided certain things were not quite as compelling as they used to be.
With Roswell in the 21st century, I wanted to look at it dispassionately and see where we really were with the evidence, because at one point, it seemed like this is the case that had everything. It would prove that there's alien visitation, and going back and looking at the number of people who were making up their involvement in the Roswell case and some of the things that went off the rails, I thought it was time to look at it in its totality and see where exactly we stood on it. And that resulted in Roswell in the 21st century. And I tried to document everything so that you don't have to believe what I say in the book, that you can follow the footnotes back to the original sources of the information and determine whether or not you find those sources acceptable. And that's another thing that I think has been missing from ufology is, if you write a book about UFOs, and there's a lot of people still doing this sort of thing, and you read a lot of other books about UFOs, you incorporate the mistakes made by the authors you read in your book. And what I tried to do with Rosalind is go back and look at the original sources and eliminate those mistakes that we all had made as we were writing the story. And the best example of that is Frank Kaufman. I mean, I believe Frank Kaufman, and there seemed to be evidence to support what he said until around 2000, when we discovered, and I should say Mark Rodiker and Don Schmidt and one other fellow whose name escapes me at the moment, and I don't know why. Oh, Mark Chesney. I'm sorry, Mark Chesney had been asked by Kaufman's widow to make sure that there were no contractual obligations that Frank had signed prior to his death, so that there would be no legal ramifications for her. And in going through their office, or his office, found original documents showed where he had altered his discharge papers so that it looked like he had been trained in intelligence and had been a master sergeant, when in fact he'd been trained in administration and had been a staff sergeant. And so I wanted to look at all of those things and go back to those original sources and say, you know, this guy tells a wonderful tale. Unfortunately, we cannot accept it because of this, this, and this. There's no evidence that he was involved in any kind of retrieval operation. He was a civilian at the base at the time, and they probably wouldn't have brought him in. And I think that's one of the things that we need to do in UFO research, is take a look at some of the iconic books in ufology. Dick Hall's UFO Evidence, for example. There are errors in that that are not really the fault of Dick Hall, but are the fault of people who were reporting things to him. And another example of that is there's a case from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, that supposedly took place on the 24th of June, 1947, the afternoon that Kenneth Arnold saw his objects at Mount Rainier, or it was published on the 24th of June, which means here's a guy in Iowa who saw disc-shaped objects the same day that Arnold did, and it was reported prior to Arnold's information showing up in the newspaper, so you can't point at Arnold as being the source, which was important to me. And I tried to trace that back, and it turned out the article, and Hall had gotten from Frank Edwards, who cited the Cedar Rapids Gazette as the source, but didn't give any date, a time. It just said, you know, prior to Arnold. And so I went back through the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I found the article. It actually was published 3 days after Arnold's sighting. The guy wasn't from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He was from Peoria, Illinois, and it clearly was a response to the Arnold sighting. You know, he was saying, well, you know, Arnold had kind of inspired him to go to the police, which doesn't mean the sighting was bogus. It just means it wasn't independent of Arnold in the respect that I was looking for, something prior printed prior to Arnold talking about discs. You know, here's a mistake that Dick Hall made because he didn't have the resources to go back to look it up, and I happened to have them.
I did the same thing with Jerry Clark. He, in 1977, had dismissed the Alexander Hamilton, 1897, a calf abduction case by a great airship, and put it all off on a hoax by Hamilton as part of a liar's club. And he cited a particular article found in the Kansas City Star, I believe. Well, I went back and I found the article, and it said nothing to do with a liar's club. In fact, well, I explained it all in my book, and I felt that Jerry had, putting a good spin on it, Jerry had stretched the facts and put his own spin and interpretation on it, when in fact there were 12 affidavits attesting to Hamilton's honesty by the 12 pillars of the community, which of course Clark never mentioned. So instead of the case, you know, for 40 years being considered, you know, a hoax, now all of a sudden we reopen the case because there's compelling evidence to suggest that the event really did happen the way that Hamilton and the other two witnesses described. So
I would suggest you take a look at Eddie Bullard's book, where he found an article, and you'd have to look at his sources, in the Yates County newspaper, where Hamilton admitted it was a hoax.
You know, again, I went back there, and it wasn't Hamilton. It was his son claiming that.
Ah.
Yeah, and the son, the son said, this whole thing about the Liars Club and everything may have come from the son, who was embarrassed that his dad had quit his job 2 days after the event, which no one ever mentions, that he was the county constable. And because of the furor over his claim, he said, well, I can't help it if nobody believes me. Since I've lost the trust of the locals, I'm just going to quit my job. It was quite a controversy back then. We found other articles quoting Hamilton at the time, where he again reaffirms his story, And, of course, again, there are the 12 affidavits attesting to his veracity and honesty of one Alexander Hamilton, a state senator. So, you know, the only reason why I bring this up is unless you do that kind of back work, you know, looking at sources that are used to make claims about facts, unless you actually do your due diligence and go through this information, you can't just accept everything at face value. And unfortunately, Kevin, there's not enough people out there that are willing to do the extra legwork and that extra digging to really dot the I's and cross the T's, and it's unfortunate.
Well, I do something on my blog called Chasing Footnotes, where something sparks an interest in a case, and I go to various sources, and I look at the footnotes, and I see where they got the information, and go to that source, try to trace it down to the end to find out exactly what happened. And that was where the Dick Hall thing came back. I was doing a Chasing Footnotes thing about the Cedar Rapids case, because the argument from the skeptics had been that Arnold didn't see a saucer-shaped craft, which is obviously true, but everybody repeated it, saw the thing saucer, and thought of this shaped craft. So I was looking specifically for reports made prior to Arnold that we could document had been made prior to Arnold about disc-shaped craft. And one of these was this story told by Frank Edwards. I think he first told it in like 1956. And I think that was where I think Hall cited that as well. And I was able to get back to where Edwards got the original story. And he was talking about it coming from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And I happened to have access to their files from 1947. There was actually two newspapers in Cedar Rapids at the time. And the other was, I think, the Cedar Rapids Republican, but it was a weekly. And I went through both newspapers looking for it. And I finally found the article, but it was published a couple of days after Arnold. So it didn't do me any good, because you could still make the argument that the description given by the witness had been influenced by the other newspaper articles they'd seen. If it had been published on the 24th, that would have been
right. That would have been wonderful. Noteworthy.
That would have been noteworthy, but it was published.
You see the same thing with Aztec. There's no mention of Aztec anywhere prior to, I think, the Scully book.
We've got more to come, and we're going to get definitely in the next segment to Sicaro. With Gene, Chris, and Kevin, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This just in, before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com, just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Kevin Randall's here. The book is Encounter of the Desert. Encounter in the Desert covers the Sicario, New Mexico case. Now, just briefly about Aztec, New Mexico. You talked to him first, and you had an article by Monty Shriver, who lived in Aztec back in 1948, and nothing happened. And he went to his class reunion, and nothing happened. And we had him on After the Paracast. And I like the guy. In fact, I think we were going to have lunch together during one of his visits to Arizona. Really, really nice guy. And I took him totally serious. And that's the other problem with Aztec. It's not just there's no record before the Scully book. People who live there don't know what happened.
I just did a conference with Chuck Wade, who some of our listeners may know, is convinced that he's found a debris field in the plains of St. Augustine and has all this very interesting-looking metal bits. His film festival in Gallup a couple of weekends ago. And I mentioned, Aztec, and he says, oh, no, I know somebody that actually saw the convoy and talked to people that were involved, and, oh, it really did happen. And there's all these apocryphal second, third-hand accounts, but you would think something like that would have at least made some sort of local newspaper or be included in somebody's diary or journal or something. I just don't see it.
I think the interesting thing is if you go back to William Steinman's book, UFO Crash at Aztec, and he talks about a guy named Harold Dunning who supposedly had been involved in some aspect of the recovery operation. He saw something or he did something, and Steinman goes to talk to him, and Dunning blows him off, says, no, nothing happened. And Steinman's conclusion was he'd been gotten to by the CIA or something, because he tells Steinman, no, you know, leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it. I'm tired of this nonsense. And he's seeing it as part of a cover-up, where the rest of us kind of see it as the guy just doesn't want to talk about this anymore because it didn't happen. Monty Shriver, I think, is quite sincere, and he's done a wonderful job of kind of documenting his points of view that people who claim they were there at the time, I think with the El Paso natural gas pipeline, they were supposedly working on the pipeline when the thing crashed, and that was why they happened to be in the area. The El Paso natural gas pipeline didn't exist in there until 1950, for example. There's some interesting stuff like that, and you've got to look at all of that and account for that. And if you can't get to an original source, documenting it in 1948. We know Roswell happened because all the newspapers had it. Doesn't mean it was alien. It just means that something happened there at Roswell. But as Aztecs, there's nothing there to find. I think Monty Shriver points it out very well in the things that he's done. And I've got some stuff on my blog about from Monty Shriver about what he'd seen and how he refutes some of this. So I think the case for Aztecs is extremely weak. But, you know, that's where we are on some of that stuff. Right. You know, we have to look at all of that.
Socorro, the case for Socorro is quite a bit different. Now, we were talking about mistakes made by original research and investigation. I'm sure you combed through Socorro Saucer and Pentagon Pantry, which I consider one of the finest books ever written about a single case. What mistakes or inconsistencies did you find in Ray's book?
I wasn't looking for inconsistencies in Ray's book, and he looked more at it from his investigative point of view. He was there on scene. I think he's the only person alive today who was there originally. The Lorenzans were there within hours. They're both right. Gone. Hynek's gone. Quintanilla didn't go.
Lonnie Zamora was gone 8 years ago today.
Yes, and the other police officers are gone. Like I said, Hynek is gone. I think Moody is gone. I'm not sure about him. He was the Air Force officer. I think Holder is gone. He was the Air Force Army captain that was there and that sort of thing. But his book is about his experiences on scene. And where I would disagree with, for example, the shape of the emblem that Lonnie reported. He says one thing in his book. He says another thing in letters that he wrote in the time frame. So there's a section in my book about what symbol did Zamora actually see. And I disagree with Ray's conclusion that it was an inverted V with three lines through it. I think it's what I call the umbrella symbol, which is kind of an arrowhead with an arc over it and a line across the bottom. And that was what Zamora drew within minutes of the object taking off on a scrap of paper. And we have the scrap of paper with that on it. And he signed it. And within hours of the sighting, he's in the police station being interrogated. And I say interrogated, questioned by Holder, who was an Army officer brought into this because he was, I guess, the highest-ranking military guy available, an FBI agent. And
well, you do know that Holder's son had signed an affidavit to James Fox and Ray Stanford,
yes,
Suggesting the fact that the original symbol was the inverted V with the three lines.
Folks, you know, we're going into the weeds here. We're right in the middle of the case, and I think
inside
here,
baseball.
Very inside baseball. And I think here what you should do is maybe paint the picture from the beginning. Kevin, what made you want to go back and explore this case to review it all over again and see where the data stands today? How'd you get started?
Well, as you guys know, finding guests for a program is a task. And I had written to the public relations officer of MUFON and said, you know, I've got a radio program. I'd like to have some people on there. Do you have any suggestions? And they said, well, we have Ben Moss and Tony Angiola, who have been reinvestigating the Socorro case. And I said, great. I got them on the program. And as we were going through the case, they said a couple of things to me that just didn't sound right. They said, for example, Lonnie Zamora was not the only witness to this. There were three people who saw the object in the sky before it landed out there. And I'd never heard that. And I tried to get some more information from them on that. You know, what's your source for that? Did you check the police records? And I never got a good answer for that. And I think it just kind of got lost in the discussion of the Socorro case. That kind of intrigued me. So I went back to begin looking at the Project Blue Book file on this. And the Project Blue Book has a whole long file, and it talks about how Zamora was chasing a speeder in Socorro, New Mexico on April 24th, 1964, and he heard a loud roar that he thought was maybe a dynamite shack located on the outskirts of town exploding, and he drove over to look to see what had happened there, and as he came up over the rise, he saw this object sitting on the ground, which he thought was an overturned car, and he started down toward that, and when he got closer, he saw two small figures close to it. And saw that it wasn't an overturned car, but was something else again. And when these figures saw him, they kind of reacted, and they ran around the back of the craft. There was a sound like a hatch closing, and the thing takes off in a roar and lifts off into the sky and disappears. Zamora immediately calls his friend, Sergeant Chavez, Samuel Chavez, who was a state policeman And according to the Lorenzans, and this is how far in the weeds we go on this, according to Lorenzans, Chavez happened to be at the police station trying to check a prisoner in or book a suspect or something like that, and he turned that duty over to somebody else, and he goes roaring back out to find Lonnie Zamora, what he's seen, and he gets there, and Zamora's pale. He looks like he's seen a ghost. He's very agitated, and Chavez questions about that. There is a suggestion, and I think Ray Stanford brings it up himself, that Chavez may have seen the object in the sky. I don't think he did. I think that probably is untrue, but which is not to say Ray was reporting things that were wrong. I think the impression he got from Chavez and Zamora is that Chavez may have seen it. The documentation suggests otherwise. I'll go with the documentation on that. So the thing takes off, and in the next few hours, the Captain Richard Holder, who was the upper-range commander at White Sands, and if you know New Mexican geography, you know, White Sands Missile Range, really the headquarters is down near Alamogordo or south of Alamogordo, but the range stretches literally 50, 60, 100, 150 miles to the north, so that Holder's duty station on the White Sands Missile Range, it was actually closer for him to live in Socorro than it would be to Alamogordo. So he's there. An FBI agent gets involved. There's some question of who called who about this, but both of them get called. Both of them go out to the police station. They sit down with Zamora, and they talk to him that evening about what's going on. And the story gets out into the newspapers. The Lorenzans arrive within 48 hours. They're talking about the object and what Zamora had seen and looking for other evidence and trying to find out exactly what had happened. So you've got all of that going on. But basically what it is a police officer reported an object on the ground, reported illegal aliens, you could say, creatures from another world around the craft. And it takes off and disappears in the sky rather rapidly. It was in sight for maybe a minute and a half. Zamora saw it for maybe a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes. But I got involved because I wanted to know about these other witnesses. Because if the Zamora case always struck me as, well, it's very interesting, but it's single witness. I would like more witnesses. And Ben Moss and Tony Angiola was talking about additional witnesses.
Let's do our break. And we'll continue the search for other witnesses in Socorro, New Mexico, with Kevin Randall, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.